talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and they'll, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome in to the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow me across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. Our little show here is at Pop Culture PD. Yes, people, it's weird. We couldn't fit the whole thing. We're not the police. It's just a Twitter account. It's just a simple Twitter account. If you do, would be so kind to follow the account for such great content as things unknown, it will instantly make you more barkier. And what does that mean? We'll find out as the show goes on. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. You can follow him along all social media platforms, dating websites, and OnlyFans, or fans only, never can get it right, at BillyD2411. He's Billy D. What's going on, dude?
Hello. Feeling like our guy we had on the show before, Emerson, hopping straight off the Peloton onto this little experience here.
Bro, did you just ride up Mount Kilimanjaro?
Quads are on fire.
Just take it's dry protein, dry pre-workout right to the
I've done the dry pre-workout before.
Oh, it's brutal. It's so granular. Granular in there. Today, Billy, we got ourselves a stacked show. We got stuff to recap, stuff to talk about, but most importantly, we're going to get to a near and dear rapper, musician, actor, really a savant in all things he did while he graced us for 50 years here on planet Earth. We're going to do top 11 DMX song, kind of like the best of and the rest of when it comes to DMX. So we'll get to that in just a few. You can subscribe to this podcast over on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, anywhere you know there's podcasts out there, we are there. Just search Pop Culture Pile Driver. Three words. And you can like and subscribe over on YouTube. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver. We are a part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse, along with such podcasts as the Dork Pod, hashtag Dork Podcast, Change My Mind, Mac and Goo, the
Pineapple Boys.
Yeah, but what's the name of the – oh, yes, the Pineapple Boys, of course, Thursday nights. You get recaps on Psych. What's the name of the
LDR?
Oh yeah, those guys. Totally forgot about them. That was really rude. No, but what's the new Weston Goo? What did we call them this now?
It was Caps Booze, and now it's, I believe, Shield Play. Although I do make the graphics, so I should know.
That's right. Well, yes, we get so many things. So there's like the Psych, rewatch podcast that Billy and Doc do.
I've heard it both ways. Is the actual name? Yes.
Perfect. And then you also have, you know, with the popularity currently of Marvel, you have Shield Play, where Goo and Wes recap weekly Falcon Winter Soldier. There's so much different content. Go check out the Dorkshire Gooniverse. Give it a thumbs up over on Facebook. You like merch? You like T-shirts? You like Nick Fryer? Maybe not the latter, but if you like any of the previous, you can check out TeePublic and then search Pop Culture Pile Driver or Pop Culture Pile Driver to grab any of the Pop Culture Pile Driver merch. Music that you heard in our intro and music you'll hear throughout this is done by our good friends and Billy's closest friends. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so go check them out on Spotify. Their new hit is an absolute bop, as the kid would say. So go check that out. It's called No Release.
And our nonprofit partner, Frank Says Hi. If you want to donate, we are getting to the given season. There is a nonprofit. We're going to put on a little event. It'll be obviously be virtual. Yes. We're getting there, Bill. We're getting better. I feel like the world's getting better. But yeah, it'll be a virtual event. There'll be two coming up. But you can check out all information on how you can help support Frank Says Hi. That gives basically funds people for experiential events through that are dealing with cancer and patients over at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. You can check that all out at franksayshi.com. Oh yeah, I'm a bit out of my mind, though. All right, Billy boy, a lot of things on the deck here. Out of my mind, starting off with a little WrestleMania recap. I know you tuned in for the first time in like 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Overall thoughts.
I mean, I saw the Rumble, so technically not that long, but I enjoyed it very much. Well, the first night I enjoyed. Second night was kind of hot garbage, but the first night, a lot of good matches. Cesaro and Seth Rollins is actually very good. Very impressed by it. Bad Bunny. That was my big takeaway from the weekend. Bad Bunny's good. Like, he wasn't, he didn't look bad. He looked sharp. He looked crisp. I actually went back and watched the promo that he cut leading into WrestleMania. Fantastic promo, especially for a guy who English is not his first language. And then I thought the main event was special. They went at it hard. Very, very good match. Very well-paced match. So overall, I enjoyed the first night. Second night was kind of embarrassing.
I would not say embarrassing, but it wasn't for me, good. To go back and put some context, yeah, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, first female one-on-one main event in WrestleMania history. Excellent match. A lot of people, the criticisms I've read about certain things were like, oh, like the main event of night two with Edge, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns was predictable. I thought Banks-Belair was the most predictable match on the card, but that doesn't make it good or bad. It was an excellently executed match. Banks-Belair was top-notch. A lot of credit going to former in-ring competitor, unfortunately had to retire due to injury, of Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd, I guess, has become the women's
trainer. And
Yeah, like, he like puts together the matches, works with them.
Nice.
Yeah, so
he was a phenomenal wrestler.
Yeah, so that's come out like pretty strong over the past few years. He also aided in the WrestleMania 35 main event with Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. So like, he's become like the go-to, like Fit Finley's the trainer. With Sarah Del Rey. But anyways, it just women's wrestling is killing it. And I've said this, and a buddy of ours, Kevin, they have the best moves. They have more consistent matches. Obviously, things have gotten drawn down because there's just so much content with wrestling. But for Mania itself, Bill, I agree. I actually really liked the Drew-Bobby Lashley match, aside from the wonky finish. It was just...
Did you see the video that Nia Jax tweeted out of him doing the flip over the ring and a certain part of his body hit the rope?
I did not, but I will now have to check.
It's legitimately amazing.
So his, would you say his cock and spiel? Are we talking
his
about
member,
that?
His member, just the tip, hit the ring rope. And like, it's like, I can't believe she tweeted it out. It might've been taken down, but it was amazing. It was holy crap.
Absolutely going to have to check that out. But entertaining nonetheless, obviously a first ever rain delay in the history of wrestling that I know of, at least mainstream or WrestleMania. Always a risk, but I still will say the one takeaway, if you are a wrestling fan, check out Peacock. There's the one reason to get it. Just don't watch it live because you can't rewind. Vince McMahon's promo at the beginning of that event. I was saying this to some fans outside, you know, some DK members that we deal with at your home, that I think that Vince McMahon opening promo night one, when they eventually got to it, is going to be like, I don't want to say top 10 or top 11, be fitting, but it's like an iconic moment in wrestling history because of what we just went through over the past year. The first time a WWE audience had seen a WWE live event, and for him, like, it was just such an epic, and he nailed it. His tone, regardless of what the man's like 71 years old. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care if he has a facelift. I don't care about any of that. He just sounded so impassioned in the WrestleMania. We haven't heard one of those since like the WrestleMania like 3, I feel like. So I thought that was an epic moment. Matches were great. I was thoroughly entertained. Again, these two night things I'm into, Bill, because put those two together, it's over 7 hours of wrestling content.
Yeah, it would have been impossible to watch if it was two nights. And they obviously would have stacked the card a little differently. They would have shuffled it up. But, you know, the last match of Sunday was good. And, you know, I'm a big Roman Reigns mark. So interesting finish. Kind of liked it. But, I mean, at that point, like, they're all old guys who have been over forever. So I don't think it really mattered who got the belts.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move to have Roman Reigns continue to dominate. He's a face. He's someone you can market. I love the Edge return. This match should have never been a three-way. It should have just been Edge versus Roman. But Daniel Bryan and Edge know their place. Putting younger guys over. Let's get, especially if Roman Reigns that is over, let's put him over the top. Let's get like nuclear heat going. So I was thoroughly entertained. Last year it was more needed. What we kind of talked about this on this podcast, that like we needed that last year when there was just nothing on TV. I know it was empty arena, but this was like a sign of hope, I felt.
Yeah, and the only other thing I'll say is the Bray Wyatt thing. What are we doing here?
I'm all in. Just entertain me. I don't need good matches. I should be entertained.
Need good matches. That's what you need. You need good match.
Bill, you've heard me say this before. The reason I feel like anybody who is hearing our voices now that aren't currently watching wrestling is because the characters have changed. It's now like guy versus guy, girl versus girl. There's not that over-the-top characters. I've said this for years, and I know I'm not going to die on the hill. I don't believe Stone Cold Steve Austin was a great wrestler. I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm not saying he put in great matches.
Ridiculous.
But nobody talks about Stone Cold versus The Rock for the awesome match it was. It was just about the two characters
You talk
colliding.
About Bret Hart versus Stone Cold for the match.
You do,
I think you
but
talk
even
about
still,
WrestleMania 15 and 14 with
no,
Stone Cold when he was in
prison. No one talks about WrestleMania 14. It was one of the worst matches with him. And
it was not.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
Listen to Stone Cold talk about it. Listen to Sean talk about it.
They
Sean
don't like it, but it's still a well-wrestled match.
Here's my point, though. It's those guys were characters. Those guys were bigger than their matches. You don't need great – like, now wrestling relies too much on, oh, give them 20 minutes.
I agree. You need the story. But my whole point about the Bray Wyatt thing wasn't the fact that it was a poorly wrestled match. When you said that, it just ticked me off. It's the fact that Bray Wyatt lost. He shouldn't lose. Ever.
That,
ever. Especially to one single RKO. Doesn't make any sense. They killed his character. And I know – our guys from the Jobber Knocker Nest will be like, he can lose forever and it doesn't matter. It kind of fucking does.
No,
like, I'm getting
wrong.
Sick. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing this guy lose, whether it's to 100 finishers in a weird ass way where they basically killed him. They lit him on fire. They lit this guy on fire and then he loses to an RKO. It makes legitimately no sense. And I'm sick. Well, this is what I don't get. I don't get it.
I will just say this. To agree with that point, my other point's another. It's a story for another time. But I agree with you, Bill. The story is Randy Orton burned this man to death, and you somehow turn a demon, legit like fiend demon, into a baby face somehow. His big comeback, his big return, he loses, and then the storyline's over. So Randy Orton killed the fiend.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm like, oh, that's weird, but I'm interested in the rest of the side of it. But listen,
I like the gaga of him coming out in the Jack in the Box and the blood
cool.
and stuff, but they should have RKO'd him, got right back up. And then beat the crap out of him.
We'll see where it all goes, where this thing goes. I will just say that I love that we have the Fiend. I love that we have that out of this world character. But you're right. We've been saying this for over a year, though. He should never be a champion. He doesn't need to be near a belt. And he shouldn't be anywhere near taking L's. Unless there's some other equally demonic character. But
yeah. I mean, like, well, who cares if he loses now?
Well, and I will say, you said people say it doesn't matter if he loses. It absolutely does, because people stop believing, and that's a big problem. You don't have to win every match, don't get me wrong, but characters, if like Cesaro versus Seth Rollins didn't have a great story, but it was an awesomely executed match in 11 minutes. Give me that all day. And give me Bray Wyatt. Don't give me 40 minutes of Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, which was just, you can't give me 40-minute matches. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. But anywho, Bill, aside from that, that was our WrestleMania recap. I just had a couple things I want to throw at you. How bad are these Subway commercials with Jason Tatum and Draymond Green?
I've actually never seen them. I actually watch pretty much every Celtics game at least a half hour to an hour late, so I'm just zipping through them.
Honestly, it's not even just through bad. It's everywhere. This thing's on wrestling, so you know I watch a lot of wrestling content, some other shows I watch. Dude, these are some of the worst commercials I've ever seen. I truly believe I could hit you over the head with a steel chair, knock you somewhat unconscious, and you could be you could execute the lines better than these two.
Hi, I'm Jason Tatum. I've only seen that because it comes right after the I'm Groot and then I'm Steve Rogers. And then it cuts
hilarious.
Right to that.
I got to find that. It's just Draymond Green holding the Subway up. MAGA steak. I got bacon. Mine can score. What's that mean? I'm just talking about subs. It's bad, Bill. I know what you do.
Is it intentionally bad?
No, it's just nobody could. You know what it is? It's two high profile guys in the NBA coming to do a shoot. They have people like yourself or me helping them produce that are not me or you particularly, but people that were too concerned to say, that's really bad. Can you do it again? No, I know you do. That's what I'm saying. You're talented. I've seen the commercials and I've seen some takes. I've seen some green jackets going of females back. But like, dude, it's bad. It's like getting to the point where I'm like, they need to stop this rotation. It might be the worst commercial I've ever seen.
I mean, we're talking about it, though.
Of course. We're talking about it. It's Jason Tatum and Draymond Green.
I mean, maybe that's their hook, because the Bill Belichick where he cuts the sleeves off is also one of the worst acted commercials ever. But, you know, maybe that's the point. Like sometimes.
No, but that fits. Belichick is known as a dry. Yeah. And, like, they do the sleeve thing, which is kind of funny. There's nothing funny about this.
I'll check it out.
Bad. Bill, did you hear about our guy, Ursher?
Oh, yeah. Throwing fake bucks.
So this is probably the funniest story I've heard in a long time. A stripper, I think it's Sapphire, maybe?
At the club Sapphire or her name Sapphire?
I believe her name Sapphire, but we'll just, either way. Because
I've been
club
with Sapphire.
I'm sure you've been in a few Sapphires, Bill. Usher basically is getting absolutely destroyed for allegedly throwing fake money at a strip club. And then did you hear the excuse?
No.
He there's a promotion going on at the club where there was like Usher Bucks or Ursh Bucks, they're calling them. By the way, big shout out to Usher, what a talent. He's dodging bullets here because basically he was throwing bills, he was making it rain up in the club with real money. And then there was a promotion where they were doing money with his face on it within the club, and somehow that was getting potentially mixed in with his real money. So his agent and people are saying, no, no, that was just the club promotion. You're picking up those bills. He was giving out real money.
I mean, either way, he's worth $180 million. Why are they doing a promotion with fake money at a real, like at a strip club? It doesn't. And then where is their strip club open?
Dude, everywhere. And we're talking about the South here, man. They don't give two craps. You might not be going to whatever Mac 2's up here locally. I think that's been closed down for 5 years. But
I thought they were even closed in Vegas.
I have no idea what's going on in Vegas, but I know anything south of the Mason-Dixon line, Bill, and in the northeast, southeast, you're game on, baby. Game on. Go get you some. Also, you mentioned a little bit. Anything you've been checking out recently, Bill? Anything you've been watching to note?
So I watched the next few episodes of Invincible. Still really good. It felt like it's not as intense as maybe the first two episodes, but it's really building to something and you can kind of see it. So I really am enjoying that right now.
Love that. Obviously, I was just so tuned in with so much wrestling stuff. I haven't really watched too much outside that bubble. I've got the heads up on a new show. Oh, what the hell is it called? I'm not even going to mention it because I can't remember the name. Real good job by me. I'll get some positive news for you before we get to the main topic here. Bill, how would you like a pet dragon?
Komodo dragon or like a real one?
You probably tell me.
A real one.
Probably more the latter.
No, thank you.
Well, guess what? There's a marvel of engineering because a girl through a Make-A-Wish Foundation, which, you know, John Cena's done, you know, I think still to this day the most. We know how incredible that what that does for, I think it's like 12 ages, 13 and under. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, obviously check them out. But a girl received a pet dragon. It was totally animatronic, but this thing looks amazing. Her one wish, and obviously I don't know what her situation was, but was to have a pet dragon. So for her rest of her days here on this wonderful planet Earth, she gets to have an actual pet dragon. It's an amazing, you can Google pet dragon, or it's like this like multicolored animatronic thing. I have no idea how they made it and how they did it in such a quick time, but it just shows, by the way, we just have so much freaking talented people on this earth. And when we really need to get stuff done, snap a finger, there's a freaking dragon now. So I don't know. That made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Just knowing there's a pet dragon for a girl. That's all she wants in this world.
I mean, good for them because, I mean, that's not a real thing, so.
Well, it is now, Bill. We're starting it here. If Game of Thrones will be real. Also, that's one thing I did see. I heard a lot of big rumors about, a reboot of Game of Thrones or, like, a...
It's just I feel like that's catching fandom, scene. I think. I don't know. I wouldn't want it at this point. Like, I've never seen something fall off the cliff in my life as fast as Game of Thrones did because going into the final season, I know people didn't love season 7, but going into the final season... Like, this was going to be one of the most beloved shows of all time up there with The Sopranos. And now, people don't remember it fondly.
No, it's kind of a trash. It's like, oh, it was good. It's like, oh, sorry. All right, but let's get into it here. DMX, rapper extraordinaire, unfortunately did pass away late last week, if you're listening to us live. 50 years old, incredible talent, such a different style rapper. Someone that didn't just rap about, well, you'll see some songs about these things, but just not just about women and money. He got into deeper and darker depression, growing up, and just like a different style than most rappers, I would say. And his just approach to rap was so aggressive, yet thoughtful. And I think that's what makes him special. He was an actor. He was in many movies, including such hits as Belly.
Romeo Must Die.
Awesome in that movie with him and Jet Li. Mm-hmm. And Jet Li's tweet, I don't know if you saw it, was so heartwarming. Just saying, like, he was such a pleasure to be around. So warm.
I heard that from so many people that, like, kind of met him. Like, I knew a girl who basically walked into a pool party of his, and he was, like, very, like, oh, let's take a picture. Like,
did he bark at her?
Probably. I mean, your guy, Jermaine Wiggins, on the morning show, the Greg Hill morning show.
Yeah, I call it the show that's done this new rotation. By the way, here comes a shot. Here, the show that does a rotation of guests. They turn it into a bit. When I had a host that had departed, I had been part of the team that said we should do something like this and make a fan vote. So I used to do these rankings at the end of the week. I was told to take down my tweets. Don't turn this into a gimmick. or gay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Thanks, guys. But anyways, it's working for them.
At least they're using your idea. So Wiggy, and, you know, actually, you know what? The whole DSG, I don't think anybody's really spoken positively. I don't think Matt and Gu has said their piece on them. But Dork didn't really have, they kind of didn't shit on DMX, but they were just like, he's not, you know, because Wiggy said he was one of the top three rappers of all time, which is an outrageous take. I mean, it's not even close. Nobody's going to confuse him with the best lyricist. In fact, I just tweeted out and retweeted from the PCP account that word ranking of best rappers. He's dead. He's not dead last, but he's like at the last of the line of people that you would even recognize.
But so, I don't think that equals good or bad rapper. It just shows range, I guess. Yeah,
no, like you put it perfectly. He's a different style of rapper. To me, there's the guys like Eminem and Andre 3000, which I love because I love the talent in like their lyrics and wordplay. Childish Gambino is another one that I really embrace like that. But with DMX, he's kind of like a little bit 50 Cent, but I'd say better because he has that energy that he just brings to every song. He talks about stuff like you said that's a little bit more passionate. I mean, he does have songs that are just straight up, you know, gangster, killing people, or having fun with the ladies, but that's not it. He has a ton of other songs, and I think those are a lot of his best songs, quite frankly. So I would put him in the top 20 of all time as a rapper, but that's not like a slight, especially since the guy used, I think, like 7,000 words in his whole catalog. It's very impressive what he has done because he's got probably the greatest voice in rap of all time, I would say. Because he's not really auto-tuned. I'm sure they do a little bit to his voice, but I heard him live. He sounds like that. Like, that's what he sounds like. That's amazing. Yeah. Like, his vocal cords are magic. The energy that he brings is incredible. And he does have a very good flow, and that is important to rappers. Like, Inspector Deck from Wu-Tang is 100 times better than him when writing a verse, but he doesn't have the same flow or voice.
Yeah, and just to give people perspective with the words, so DMX, we say he's on the lower end. Actually, I think I'm trying to look at this chart. So 7,000 words are like the most. The lowest amount. The most? Yeah, yeah. So the lower amount where he is, and so is a guy like Eminem, actually.
He's 2,300.
Yeah, which, by the way, Eminem is the lowest. So Eminem has used the least amount of words.
No, that's not Eminem. It just looks like Eminem.
Well, whoever this other guy is there.
NF, I don't even know who that is.
Anyways, well, you can check out this entire chart. Go check out Pop Culture PD. Drake, not too much further along than he is. And I'm not even going to play the game of rap. You know, I'm not going to die on any heels. For me, DMX is one of my all-time favorites. Because for me, it was that era. It was that time. We'll get into the top 11 in a minute. We're going to get Billy with the rest. But he hit me because he was funny. And I know it sounds weird, but like his music made me laugh because of the edits. I've said it. The number one all-time edited rapper, bar none. His like listening to him on local radio stations like Jammin' 898 FM, Jammin' 94.5, Kiss 108 at the time was playing him. Obviously, like Mix, like when they were 98.5, like all the pop stations played DMX, and it was hilarious. Then I would purchase his albums, or as my parents wouldn't allow me to buy anything that had swears, I'd go to a friend's house and I'd listen to his albums. I'd be like, this guy is awesome. Like, he fits so many different molds, and he had so many different ways of producing and making, well, the producers making his songs feel special. So with all that being said, we put together a top 11. You really just gave it to me, so people are going to absolutely crush this list. That's cool. But Bill, you also wanted to touch on a few other things, so I'll give you a few minutes here to touch on songs that will not be on the top 11, in the way all good lists start with honorable mentions.
So yeah, this is his B-side. This is his back catalog. And I know we're doing it a little differently, but like, I can't just rank 11 DMX songs. Plus, if I did it, it wouldn't be his best 11, because the way I like his songs, I think a lot of people don't find this as their favorites, but they're must listens for me. So I would say this is like the B-side before we get into the top 11. And I'd say you did a pretty good job. There's only one or two that I would probably force onto your list. I think you hit all the classics. So my first one would be Fucking With D. That's a really good one. I think that's off one of his earlier albums. Stop Being Greedy is another, you know, fantastic.
Let me just mention that one really quickly with Greedy. I debated. I had a long talk with myself about that, because that is a jam. That is one of those songs, again, that DMX comes in just throwing haymakers at you, and another really nice like story that's a little bit different than your normal prototypical rap music, especially for the time.
Y'all be eating long enough. Stop being greedy. Keep it real, partner. Give to the needy. I got to make a move. You know, I got to make a move and make it soon. I got to take a block and make it boom. Come on, let's get that money. So, like, I would listen to pretty much all of his CDs front to back. And, you know, I don't think there's a skippable song, especially in, like, his first four albums. Once it gets to Grand Champ, he's taking a little bit more swings creatively, I think. But, you know, that, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the first four albums are like the albums for him. Grand Champ, to me, you know, you have a song that will be on the top 11 on there due to some of its, you know, more famous like hits and stuff. But the other thing about DMX, think about DMX too with his albums built. There were like 50 tracks, I felt like, because there was a lot of skits. There was a lot of interludes. There was a lot of like, I love that stuff. That's what like why when I really loved hip hop music and those albums with like you're listening to two straight songs and there's like a sketch.
Take me, Mickey.
Yeah, I love that stuff. That stuff is amazing to me. And I think also it's a lost art.
He said on Dr. Phil that on every album, and like go watch this clip where he reads one of his prayers out loud during like a somber moment in Dr. Phil, and like the crowd's like into it because he's just spitting one of his prayers. And he also has a song with the devil on a lot of his albums. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, he kept it real. I you know, just the creativity behind, you know, the you know, some of the songs that he does, and we'll get to one of yours where he's legitimately talking as another person in the song. So that's really good. My number nine would be Don't You Ever Fuck Around. Now, don't you ever fuck around. And that's another thing. Like Swiss Beatz made a lot of his beats and he's phenomenal. And a lot of the choruses were really catchy. And he doesn't have a lot of features for the most part. He has a few of those like Kanye West songs, which is one of my favorites, comes up later, where like they borrow the you know, the hook from like the 1950s. But for the most part, it's just like straight in your face hip hop. Yeah. Which I absolutely love. Let's see where else we got here. Yeah. Am I at number seven?
Oh, you're doing your own top 11. I didn't know where we're going.
Oh yeah, like these are like, yeah, it's 22 for DMX and the Rough Riders here. Who We Be? They Don't Know.
That's who another song I debated a lot with because I have a song.
It's we'll Panther song.
And I think this is another thing that makes DMX stand out. Was like songs like this because his singing, he does not, like you said, he has a voice, but I think you mean like the way we speak. He doesn't have a good singing voice. Like he doesn't have a good, like, I want to listen. Like he has this voice that kind of has this kind of tone. And I think that's what makes him cool. Like, I know it's not like his aura is really cool with DMX because then he sings sometimes like what you were just doing. And it's like kind of like bad, but good. If that makes sense. Like he was like, you're like, dude, you should probably have a feature.
It sounds okay. It really does. It's like when Kanye West sings. Like, I kind of don't mind it. Like, he definitely has a better voice than Kanye West. And I think Davey made the point on Dork. He's like, I think Kanye West is a better rapper than DMX. Well, he is. He's a way better rapper. But I think, you know, for me, like, where I would put them in, like, an all-time rap list would be close. But Kanye West is one of my favorite artists. But, like, DMX is just so near and dear to me because I think of the time we listened to him. But moving along here, six. This is one of those actually Kanye West songs, What You Gonna Do When I'm Nothing. I think this is also off the Great Depression. And, you know, he talks about, like, what's life going to be like when I'm out of the spotlight, which I thought was a really interesting take from a guy like DMX who doesn't normally, like, you wouldn't normally think he would have, like, this perspective. You think just, you know, in your face, barking noise. But this is a really nice song. It's probably would have landed in my top, like, five for DMX songs. And I think that's why I wanted you to do the actual top 11, because like that shouldn't be on his top 11, even though it's a PCP one. Like I just value that one a little bit heavier. And then number five here, It's All Good from Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. This was a song that, like, as a 13-year-old kid, me singing was ridiculous. Cause it's the one like F all day, F all night.
You're like, I relate to this. This is me. This mood.
I mean, like, I can rap the whole lyric, the whole verse, and I don't think I could say any of it right now because it's all super dirty, but it's a fantastic, fantastic song. It gets you pumped up to go out with a lady or just in general. I always said,
boys, just like slaying lyrics.
I always am like, do you think I should do It's All Good for the karaoke at work today?
That's hilarious. Imagine, like, yeah, I'll request a DMX. Yeah, what song you want? It's All Good. sir.
Well, they wouldn't know because they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? I don't even think you could make an edited version of that.
No, just Barks. Just Chains, Dragon, Barks, DMX, just whoo, real Barks. Dude, I could do it. We could edit that.
And then number four for me would be One More Road to Cross.
One more road to make. Okay. Oh, dude, this guy.
It's so good. Like, he's just...
Another one, highly debated, should have probably been on my top 11, or the top 11, whatever we want to call this.
Yeah, and I think that's off of, and then there was X. Like, I can visually remember, because I owned all of these CDs. Like, I can remember holding all of the discs for, you know, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, all of those things. So it's just such a sentimental time in my life to, you know, I think he came out in, what, 1998 to 2003?
Yes. Formative years, baby. Formative years. This was in 99, so...
Yeah, it was driving to, you know, like my parents actually, like, I think they wouldn't mind DMX. I actually remember my dad being like, oh, DMX, I don't think he's going to make it. And like, we were like, oh, and normally he'd be like, bah, but he's like, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, he was kind of.
He was like, he felt it. Does he probably know, dude, the picture of you with the T-shirt? You think you bought that T-shirt? No. No. Also, just so you know, One More Road to Cross was the technical like opening track to that album.
Yeah. And then there was X. And then another one from the Great Depression, Trina Mel, which I think is one of his more underrated tracks of all time. This is like, I know Wes isn't the biggest fan of him, but if you're looking for a gym song, that whole album is gym songs, the Great Depressions. I don't really know what Trina Mel means, but bounces straight off the floor. I absolutely love that song. And here is the one that I think I was a little surprised you didn't have on his top 11 is Get It on the Floor.
I probably, again, Bill, this is why I like doing the combination, but a lot of pressure put on me. But no, it's a good, again, things could be added. But another one of those songs, you're right, just kind of comes in, hits you. Another one of those kind of vintage DMX tracks.
And it's a club song. Like, and for a aggressive, super aggressive rapper to have a club song like this that's still played today is just, I think, a great accomplishment. And then Bring Your Whole Crew. Which is, I believe, the second actual track. There's a intro on Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, but then it starts with this.
They're all intros to start his albums.
And he's just screaming. I just love when someone brings their whole crew because it's just a bigger piece of cake for me to chew a hole through. you know, I got blood on my hands and there's no remorse. I got blood on my D because I banged a corpse. I mean, it's just like, it's not... What is that?
Don't ever be alarmed by anything going on here. All right. There's just kids doing things.
I thought that was like DMX barking for a second.
My son basically is a DMX edit.
But yeah, so that was like the ones that I thought that you would miss. And I think you only missed one on your list. I think when we get to your list right now, it's great. Yeah.
All right, so we'll kick off the unofficial, official pop culture pile driver top 11 DMX songs with the greatest horror rap crossover since Tales from the Hood, Damien. This is a three-part. I only put the original because I think it's the best. Like,
it is, by far.
I don't want to call this a song, even though I know it's a song. It's really like a skit that moves in lyrics here and there. But this is by far the best of the three. But there is a three-part trilogy. You don't see stuff like this, at least for my consumption of music today, that like you listen, like Trapped in the Closet might have been the last one, but that was a whole different thing. But it's just a well-placed story about a man with demons and having a conversation, the devil making him do bad things, like Latarius. So it's a real fun song. I always like to start a list. All my, like, well, I know we do 15, put them together, but I always like a list to start with like something that's going to make you go, ooh, I remember that, or, oh, that should be a lot higher. I don't believe this song should be higher. This song could have easily not been on the list for some of the ones you had mentioned. But I think DMX, again, what makes him special is the Damien style tracks and things that are not done typically, especially during this time frame in hip hop.
Yeah, it wouldn't be released as a single, but like I do love The Snake, The Rat, The Cat, The Dog. And then there's another song that's, I think, either before or after this on the same album, Crime Story, where it's a story of him like robbing through a night. And it's, you know, kind of a similar vibe of just a storytelling rap song that doesn't really have anything but like an actual plot to it, which I kind of love.
Yeah, it was a couple. So he went Damien, How It's Going Down, Mickey, which we mentioned earlier, and then Crime Story. Yeah.
So, I mean, his first two albums are, I mean, all-time hip-hop albums.
Yeah, without a doubt. And this is from, you know, It's Dark and Hell's Hot, his debut album. Up next, number 10 on the list is What's My Name? And
this is the fucking shit I be talking about here. Half-rapping ass motherfuckers.
The open to this song.
It's a game.
Yeah, you don't need.
You think it's a fucking game?
If it was just off of the first 15 seconds of a song, then just gunshots.
Boom, boom, like, boom. That's the radio edit.
Yeah, if there was going to be a top 11 opening 15 seconds of music, I don't know how this song might not like be argued to be on that list. That's it. The song is fun. It just sounds like change is dropping the whole time. Just aggression right out the top. This is vintage DMX. If I was Michael Cole, you just get everything you want in this song.
I was just going to say, and this is where you can really see his flow. What's my name? DMX. I'll be the best. And you're looking like you need a rest. Like one more time, like his flow with his voice, I think is what makes him an all time great rapper.
Agreed. Number 9, maybe one of the more popular songs and one that has maybe the cool, like, I don't know what it is about Drew Hill and Cisco that they, you know, the dragon, all stuff that has like these like Chinese influenced tones, but what these bitches want, like, and it has that, like, almost feels like you're walking into like a parlor in somewhere in like Seoul, but there's a doom, 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 like,
yeah, great. Drew Hill production had that. Yeah, had that little flair to it because of Cisco the Dragon. But this, if you're talking about edited rap songs, this is probably one of the funniest ones because it's I mean, like, there's so many swears in this one, but this is also one of my favorite cuts, and I think they just released it with all of the Seinfeld girlfriends, where it's like Brenda, Letitia, Inez, Alicia.
I know it's ridiculous, but I think that's also makes this song like great. Obviously, Cisco at the time, you having a feature, like we see this all the time in music today and in the, you know, the 2010s plus, but like this wasn't necessarily the norm for someone, especially like DMX. I think we only have one other song that has like an actual feature or he's featured on in the rest of this list.
Yeah, but there's not like your first few rap albums, you don't kind of want it.
Yeah, especially then, it was really like these were cassettes. These things were on god dang cassettes. It's insane to think about that. 1999 through 2003, like cassettes are still a thing. But with that being said, this song just like stands out. Again, this is him telling stories. It is him telling you, weaving a tale of all the women he had either been with. Maybe some of it's fictional. I don't know. But it's just him telling you like how, you know, as his fame grew, how all these women start coming in. They always say that, more money, more problems. You've heard it. So yeah, number 9, What These Bitches Want. Number 8 is We Right Here.
Bring it. What?
Again, this is, you're seeing the balance so far in this list where it's, you know, thoughtful and, you know, thought process, writing. It seems like he also talked about, he didn't just go in there and start flowing. That's not his rap song. He wrote down. He was telling stories. And in a song like this, it just, another one. It just grabs your attention as DMX's aggressive style. Boom. Just right off the bat. And I believe, I always forget what album. I thought this was Blood of My Blood, but
I don't remember. Is the Great Depression.
Okay, so this is the one. I think it's the only, no, I don't want to say the only one because I know there's other ones. But again, this is just another great track. And again, all the songs we're going to mention today, you should really go and check out. DMX was great. So that will take us to number 7, which is Get At Me, Dog.
Where like, my dog's at?
These are like the songs. It sounds ridiculous. Obviously, our age group where we're coming from, people potentially listening to this, wondering, either curious about DMX or grew up around the same time, a little bit older, a little younger. These are songs you're going to remember because if you were, I don't know, this reminds me of playing like video games, N64, and just playing random DMX music, and Get At Me, Dog would be a consistent one because, again, just that flow, just the way he came across, he didn't sound like too aggressive, like overly aggressive. We're like, this is like uncomfortable. And he didn't come across like a guy, you're like, I don't believe anything he's saying. That's other thing. The believability of DMX is
Through the roof. Because what is it? Rick Ross basically is just like a made up like persona. Like he didn't like do any prison time. He was like, I think he was actually like a prison guard or something crazy. So like the believability that DMX was, you know, in the streets, which, you know, he was like, so this stuff, I think, you know, always hits home. I remember more of this stuff like on the way to like neighborhood basketball you know, mm-hmm. blaring DMX, or, you know, driving around after school, blaring Grand Champ when I actually had a car and I could play this CD. So just nothing but good, fond memories of DMX. I've mentioned a few times before on this podcast, I think he's the greatest live performer I've ever seen, just because the energy that he brought, and you could feel it in every one of his songs.
Yeah, and just to give a little perspective on this song, too, it was a Billboard Hot 100, peaked at 39, hip-hop single track in U.S. Billboard 19. Rap singles, this peaked at number 6, this obviously in the early days from 1998. And just also want to mention, and we're going to segue this to our next one, there was so much collaboration with DMX and The Lox. And, yep. you know, I forget the guy's name. Is it Sheik or one of the not the least popular of the three Lox?
Oh, so there's Styles P and then there's Jadakiss. And yeah, I forget who the other guy is.
I think it was Sheik something. I remember back in the day because they used to have promos and albums. But anyways, he was featured on this song. And
Sheik
then
that's Luch.
Sheik Luch. There it is. Good call. Then number 6, Lox featuring DMX. This had to make the list because it is just a banger. Money, Cash, Hoes.
What you need in life?
Yeah, I was going to say. And they just repeat it a bunch of times. Money, Cash, Hoes. What? And DMX is so – this is where I feel like he's the perfect feature artist that didn't get – like, I feel like he should have continued to be a feature guy.
He spawned a couple of rap careers through Rough Riders, like Drag On. My People is the People That'll Die For Me. Obviously, people's a different word, but like he's a great hook guy too for features, and he didn't do it too much because obviously he's DMX. He doesn't need to. He's not.
That's
no offense to Nate Dogg, but he's not like a background player for the most part. He's front and center.
Yeah, he's a leadoff hitter. He's not bad, Nate. But I just feel like with this showed what he could be and could have been over the last, you know, 15 years where he kind of dipped out of the fame, as you mentioned, some of the music that he kind of, you know, preluded to. But I look at this song and I'm like, this is the perfect use. I think it's the perfect DMX use outside of, like, because not his song. He just comes in for a chorus, for the chorus and for one verse, and he rips. And this song is so goddamn good. Again, that's a Bad Boy production as well. Not, you know,
it's a Jay-Z song. So, I mean, that's obviously right off the top. It's going to be an all-time classic. He's probably one of my favorite rappers. And he has that same thing with DMX. Not many skippable songs on his track, but if I'm probably going to choose somebody to listen to, gun to my head, it would be tough. It would probably be DMX just because of where he placed in my life.
Makes sense. We'll get into the top 5 here. This is the song I think that put him on the map. This is the song everyone recognized. We talked about it last week. The greatest rap video maybe of all time because it's just insane. It's a Rough Riders anthem.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the remix is great too. It's got a little too much DJ Clue yelling.
DJ Clue!
And he yells over like everything too, which is kind of annoying. Like, I don't mind, you know, we the best. And then that's about it from what's his name? But this isn't the first track off the album, right? I think it's like there's an intro.
Yep, see, there's always intros. Never goes right into music.
So, I mean, this would be, you know, up there for me with, you know, My Name is Jonas is one of the best kickoff tracks to someone's career ever, because it doesn't get much better. And he kills it in every part of this song. He kills it in the remix as well. So, I mean, you just remember this. I reposted something of a college band doing this song live, and the whole crowd was just chanting it.
Love it. And this song is like, this may be a little over dramatic, the best way I can relate it to. And this, what I believe, what Smells Like Teen Spirit did for a certain type of people in the feeling, in the mood of one generation about 8 years before, or not even that, I think it was like 5, 4, 6 years before this. This brought to like the inner city. Like Rough Riders Anthem made you feel like, yes, this is a song we can rally around. And as we talked about in the past, we were all riding bikes at that time. You have a certain age, you don't have cars. You were just riding bikes and you thought you were part of said group because in the music video, there was motorcycles and there was bicycles. Bicycles, Bill. It was awesome. Song is badass. Completely could have been number one if we wanted to, but didn't feel it was the song. Number 4 coming in, the Mount Rushmore kicking off with Slippin'. Maybe the most peeled back raw version of DMX? Question mark? Yep.
This and How It's Going Down is another one that, you know, gets a little bit of his softer side. This one is way more down and depressing than most of his songs, and I think is probably one of the more critically acclaimed. technically, I think this might be his only top 40 hit. It's either this one or maybe it was Rough Riders Anthem. I forget. Oh, no, but technically, he's a one hit wonder. Oh, yeah. I think he's only had one top 40 hit.
All right. But he's not a one hit wonder. Well,
according to Davey.
Well, he's an idiot. Or we've already discussed
we know that.
This.
We know that. But yeah, this is I think, is his, like, you know, obviously his ballad.
Yeah. So this is like great. Like, we've all been in a position like this where you feel like you may be losing yourself. Something's going on. Maybe whether it be depression, whether it be anxiety, whether it be anything, especially the year we lived in 2020. Coming out of it, things are looking great. But we've all kind of sunken in. And there can be some real dark places, but and DMX dives into it, kind of twists the knife while it's in you, and it just makes you kind of, you know, appreciate who he is as a rapper, because he'll give you songs like this. This, I just think, is the best showing of the raw, authentic man behind DMX. And then we get into number three. Bill, you mentioned it. Party Up. This is my personal favorite. I don't think it's right up there with Dexy's Midnight Runners for if you just need to start a party, put this on, and it's just going to get people moving. Yeah, those are two polar opposite songs.
Who's not mine?
Yeah, it is incredible. And then the one, two, is me outside. Dude, this is the banger of bangers. This is when DMX, obviously you could tell the fame had come, the fortune, the production values have gone up. The music video is incredible. I think he's robbing a bank and it just becomes a party outside. He's on like the roof. It's incredible stuff. This song, though, I think just took DMX's fame from where Rough Riders Anthem and just skyrocketed up, crossing platforms. You still hear it in arenas to this day. It is awesome. It is just such a great
it's a party fun party song, and he's usually not known for that, but he absolutely crushes it. It's I think our friend of the podcast Anthony's favorite song with Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca. But it's just such an absolute fun song. You know, you whack, you twist it, your girl's a hoe.
Ooh,
you broke, it ain't yours. Everybody knows, you know, man. Like, everything about it is just fun.
Yeah, it completely agreed. So we'll get to number two here, which is very similar to Rough Riders Anthem in that it is kind of like one of those like rally calls and like an anthem. It's Where the Hood At. And
where the hood at.
I feel like I want to box somebody to this song, Bill. I can't punch anybody. I'm probably weak. I'll probably get my butt kicked. But this song has that. It just comes out, just smashes you right over the head. Where the Hood At? It brings, again, it's a rally cry for people. You know, if you ever seen shows like The Wire or any inner city, you know, living, which we both to a degree lived in those similar type places, that you just feel when you listen to songs like this, you're like, I know what you're talking about, man. I've seen this. I live in this area.
I lived on a street where there was shoes hanging from the telephone wires. I mean, yeah, and that means the drug dealer is in.
That's what that meant.
Yeah, technically. I think sometimes kids just did it. Okay. But like in the olden days, that meant like, you know, your plug was on the street. And like, you know, there were, you know, shootings in my area, obviously not like super, super ghetto, but like it got, you know, it wasn't a nice area. But yeah, Where the Hood At? Maplewood, Massachusetts. Well, Malden in the neighborhood was Maplewood. Maple Hood. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this would be my only slight critique of your list. I think that this song, I'd probably have What's My Name slightly ahead of this one on a list that I did, but you know, you got him inside the top 11. But again, you know, he didn't always have the most progressive and nice lyrics about people in this one, but I think it's really more about attitude with DMX anyways, and just the way he performed and presented.
And again, on the album, this has a third verse that probably most people hadn't heard, because the song, you know, whether it be on TV commercial, if you can listen to it, the clean version, no third verse. The explicit version, I guess it's technically called, has a third verse, and it's aggressive and it gets dirty. Mm-hmm. And again, the song is was produced or sampled in using Big Daddy Kane. Big Daddy Kane, look at him making an appearance here. I kind of feel like he's a little overrated, but helped out with DMX on this track. So Billy Boy, this brings us to number one, and I think I put this in the number one spot because it had such a great start when this was released in 2003, and it's kind of lived forever. And obviously some of the songs, I agree. I think it will, because there's so many tie-ins. And that is going to be X Gonna Give It To You. It is a banger hit. I think it mixes Rough Riders Anthem, Party Up with the style, gives you the aggressiveness of a Where the Hood At. And it's just an incredible smash hit. when 2003, and then as I mentioned here, Deadpool took this thing to the next level. Whatever that feels like, it was like 6 years ago now. Whenever Deadpool was released, you know, that was the song that was all in tied into that. And then
Rick and Morty has a great bit with this one too, where they're doing steroids and they beat the crap out of people.
So. I gotta check that episode. I've only made it through the first season 18 times. I'm scared to watch more of that show.
Season two is amazing.
Okay, good to know. I'll get there eventually. Sometimes I just like something, I'll just watch it on repeat and pretend like there is nothing else. But besides the point, X Gonna Give It To You also became a very popular MLB at-bat intro song that you hear the most teams that are playing on national audience, Bill's favorite sport, Xavier Natty for years, and then you have Xander Bogaerts for the Red Sox. Like,
oh, I mean, that just makes sense. Hearing.
but those guys use it, and you see it almost every team feel like has this song somewhere in their repertoire from their
I mean it's just the way that it starts with the kind of horns dun, 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 you know you're getting into some shit with DMX usually with the start of his songs, and this one is no exception. And I had this on my workout playlist as the start of, like, I think the actual lifting, just because it gets you riled up no matter what. Like, I'll just like run through the halls of my house like jumping up and down this sometimes to get myself
can pumped. You please film that?
Sure, I will. Like, it is, you know, just one of those in your face, you know, jock jam type of songs that will live forever in stadiums and on TV shows.
As I said, it's a crossover, pop crossover hit that will have your grandmother likely grooving at your wedding. Like, she knows this, you know this, we all know this. So those are our takes on DMX music. You like it, you dislike it, things should have been higher, lower, Billy's list should have been more collaborated into my list. Whatever you think, let us know at Pop Culture PD. We had a lot of fun. I listened to a ton of DMX over this last past week, and I'm going to continue to, because if there's nostalgia vibes, and he's just a hell of a great rapper.
No, fantastic.
All right, Bill, what else we got going on in the Dorkshire Goonies?
Shared Gooniverse.
So, what is it? Mac and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. They actually did, for real, they did Mount Rushmore 3D, which was just, again, just submitted ideas. We haven't done one of those yet of just random ideas, but Change My Mind also did Failed Ideas, and I think it was their best podcast they've ever had, and Nick Fryer is sitting on an absolute heater. The guy is just unstoppably funny right now, and I never thought I would say that, and this isn't sarcasm. Like, he is on an absolute, genuine, like, tear. Yeah.
Just, all right, yeah. Check out Change My Mind, Mac and Goo. What about the Dork Boys?
They did Kong vs. Godzilla. You know, they played everybody's favorite game, of course. This Is How We Do It. No, what's it called?
Is How We Do It.
Pretty much.
That's what they should change it to.
This Is How We Do It. And then TLDR Red Books, Pineapple Boys will be eating some pineapples. I'm sure Mac and Goo will come on during the middle of our show again and do a news dump. And I think that's about everybody, right? We got the streamers.
And you got Cap, Shield, Booze, Bods.
Not yet. Caps, Bods. They will be going again on Friday for the penultimate episode. Haven't really liked this as much as WandaVision.
Don't know spoilers. I'm two episodes behind, and I feel like I'm not missing anything. Not in a bad way. I know it's good, but I don't have that urge. WandaVision made me need to watch it. It gave me such... I know this is good. Like, I see all the tweets.
It's fine. It's very good. Like, it's just your classic, you know, shoot 'em up buddy cop type of movie. I don't love it.
Buddy cop, give a dog a bone.
And then TLDR Red Books, and then I said that, and then
streamers,
Dr. Joe, Shime Time, and Arvandi.
Love that stuff, Bill. Love you. Appreciate it. You guys can always check us out over on Twitter at Pop Culture PD, over on YouTube. You can check out, we sometimes will throw some exclusive stuff on those. So why not check it out? Give it a little bit of a like, a follow. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Please do listen to the great DMX as much as possible. I almost want to guarantee you in a better mood, as long as you're not listening to, like, Sippin'. But, like, most of the songs we talked about, like, will just amp you up. I'm about to head out. I have to drive my son somewhere, so I'm going to just blast this, get him all amped up, because I'm going to watch him for a couple hours. Bill, leave the folks with something positive and a thought from you.
William Xavier going to give it to you?
He sure is. That's Billy X right there. We'll catch you guys all next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay hydrated, be positive, and Frank says hi.